What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing a big poster, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yes, it is the Meet Your Tenant Commands feature that we do every single Friday at this time. A little special this time because we're doing it where I am on the ship. I am on the USS Richard McCool in the Gulf in transit from Panama City over to Pensacola. Joining me on the phone, we're going to have Captain Scott Janik of the Naval School of Aviation Safety in just one second. I do want to let you know that the Meet Your Tenant Commands feature is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company on Sorrento Road. Warrior Beer Company, we've got your six, and they do have some outstanding brews. Captain Scott Janik, call sign Mongo. He is the commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation Safety, located onboard NAS Pensacola. Mongo, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, good morning. Great to have you via satellite. He's great and underway. Love it.
Oh man, it really is wild. I still it's gonna sink in like 3 hours after we're off the air that we're actually doing this. It's kind of amazing. So let's start. I want to start with this, and I may have mentioned this before, but it is well worth mentioning again. This entire feature, if you appreciate it, Mongo was one of the key people to make it happen. He pushed me and reminded me that we were trying to do it, that I had been wanting to do it, and he has helped facilitate it every step of the way. So he gets absolutely the EP, executive producer, associate producer credits on the movie. So I really appreciate all the help, Scott. Let's talk a little bit about this, the Naval School of Aviation Safety. What is it? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so here in Pensacola, SAS, as we call it, School of Aviation Safety, kind of a continuing education organization here on Pensacola, right? You've heard from the Commodores, from Schools Command, all these folks that get people that are joining the Navy, the Marine Corps, Coast Guard right off the bat and going to learn their craft. Well, we actually get officers that are already out in the fleet and by fleet, you know, out in operational squadrons deploying, flying aircraft that are painted gray and in combat. So we get them back here, and our mission here is to educate aviation professionals at all levels, so from enlisted to officer to people going to command, to foster a culture that has safety intrinsically tied to our operations, right? So getting people smart on a safety management system so we can have them go out and be in those squadrons, be a part of those organizations so we can operate safely so we're always ready to answer the bell for the, you know, the President, Secretary of Defense, and have the Navy ready with aircraft ready, people ready. And then, you know, I'll pause there if you had a question on that, but, yeah, I'll give you a breakdown of the classes that we run.
So let's just try to give people just kind of a picture of the thing. So as you were saying, they come through the various processes at NAS Pensacola, at Whiting or Corpus, depending on whether they fly fixed wings or whether they fly helos. They go to other schools, sometimes here, sometimes elsewhere, and eventually they wind up on a big gray boat. And when they're doing that, they're learning how to be a pilot and be a member of a squadron and take on responsibilities. At some point thereafter, a couple of years in, maybe not quite that long, you tell me, then they would come back to NAS Pensacola for training in aviation safety to become a safety officer, right?
That's correct. So very unique about School of Aviation Safety and the command I'm running here is we are, and I've thought about this and try to think back. Red Man, who you talked to, who's a commanding officer of Schools Command, probably a mirror image of me in terms of an organization that has a touch point with every single Navy and Marine Corps squadron worldwide, right? Now, the difference is Schools Command, you don't know what touch point you have because you're starting out, you're learning, and off you go. Here, so we get people that are, every squadron out there has an aviation safety officer. That's kind of lieutenant level, so after, you know, 6 to 8 years in the Navy, or lieutenant commander level, someone going to department head, they come through our aviation safety officer course, because every squadron has to have an aviation safety officer. That person is in charge in their squadron for running safety management system, being trained up with human factors, aerodynamics, reporting. So if there's even a near miss, how do we report that so we can track hazards, identify hazards, get that word out to everybody else? And, you know, God forbid, if there is an aircraft mishap, then that person is tasked to lead the investigation on that mishap so we can learn lessons and then not repeat those mistakes in the future. In addition, if you're going to go to command of a squadron, so that's at the commander, the O5, or for the Marines, lieutenant colonel level, you come through a one-week course. So that ASO course, the safety officer course, is about 4 weeks. The commander's course is 1 week. And so like me, for example, I was never an ASO for my squadron. It's one person out of, you know, 20 to 30 to even 60 in a squadron, you have one ASO. So I was never chosen to go be an ASO. But when I had command of a squadron, I was going through the training pipeline. 1 week was here in Pensacola going through the Aviation Safety Commander's course. So that gives the commanders a top-level view of the programs that they're in charge of and that they got to monitor and what their aviation safety officer is going to do for them. Additionally, a third class that we run, and we do about 11 a year, is a crew resource management instructor course. We train up crew resource management instructors. Those are the folks that go out to the fleet and then run their different aircraft, their platforms, and their crews of how do we talk to each other in an aircraft? How do we communicate? How do we get through barriers, whether that's leadership, experience, knowledge, so that if you and I are flying together and you're sitting there relying on my experience in an airplane, but you see something maybe going wrong or you have a question, but you might be hesitant to say, hey, Mongo, what is, you know, this going on? So we talk about crew resource management so we can really effectively fight in these aircraft when we're out there.
As you may suspect, communication between the planes and the ship, pretty important part of not just operations, but safety, right? Making sure that everybody understands everything that's happening. You know, we sometimes talk about, like, the Blue Angels having all of their communication, their cadence and their rhythm and their way they communicate to each other, anything that might be awry. Same thing for you guys, even more so, because you're in, you know, non-standard, non-planned, maybe military operations. Communication is everything. If you're just tuning in this morning, some of those sounds that you're hearing in the background, the clanking and banging, is because every single door on the ship, the USS Richard McCool, and we are on the ship. This is a broadcast originating at a boat at sea in the Gulf heading over to Pensacola. It's an amazing thing. And that's people going in and out of doors, clanking, and we're right by the bridge. So, in fact, right behind me, behind my back, is the wall on the other side of which is the bridge where they're, you know, driving the ship. So that's why you hear all that sound in the background. Meanwhile, in Pensacola, on land, probably the first time ever that a landlubber like me is on the ship interviewing a seaman like Captain Jaddick on the land. He is the commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation Safety. Scott, I kind of interrupted you. You were about to say a third course or either a fourth course, I forget, that you also conduct at SAS.
Yeah, a fourth course, which we do, this is online, so you have to be an aviation safety officer graduate, but we do a aviation safety manager course once a year online, and that is for people going to major staffs or aviation safety officers or even carriers or ships that have squadrons on them to give them some of those different policies, procedures that they have to follow to run those major staffs. So all told, our schoolhouse, we have 26 military, Navy, Marine, and then government civilian employees. 26 of us run the schoolhouse, and we have a student throughput of around 1,200 a year. And then I was talking about the crew resource management instructors. They also go out and assess fleet-wide, all the Navy and Marine Corps squadrons, they assess their crew resource management programs. So they go out and do assessments. So a lot of travel there. But, yeah, you brought up the Blue Angels, and that's a great point there, Andrew. And a lot of times people can kind of scratch their head about that communication and crew resource management. You think of crew, and you just think of people being together in one aircraft. But the Blues are a great example of Here you got six pilots. They're in different airplanes. But, yeah, that communication, how they talk to each other, one word here or there, and the impact that can have on the understanding of what's going on with the whole formation.
Absolutely. I wanted to focus on the investigation side, because when I came and, you were so gracious to show me around the facility where you're the CEO and where you do the in-classroom training, because, you know, if you're walking down the hallway at SAS, you peek your head in one room and you're going to see, 50 green jumpsuits all sitting there learning lessons on aviation safety. And you showed me some of the resource areas that you have, and one of the rooms you have is, there's just no good way to say it. It's full of mangled metal. It's, mishaps produce physical data, and part of the job of the SAS, the aviation safety officers, is to investigate mishaps and look at what was the cause and figure out from the available data what happened. And that sometimes means some, you're dealing with some pretty serious problems, right?
No, absolutely. And we do have the, and I call it an honor, we treat these things as some of them are a final resting place for some of our fellow warriors, but we have mishap aircraft as well as a parts lab. And to your point, exactly, there are pieces that were, broken or in a crash. But we use those to show for our learning for our students to see if there is an accident, how you can actually look at the parts, and that can tell the story of what happened. Were things spinning at the time or were they not spinning? What was operating? As well as using those as lessons to teach from and go forth in their role as an ASO to use those as examples to show people what to not do, right? And to really run
Hey, Scott,
that.
Hang on for just a sec. Okay. Hey, Scott, can you hang on for just a second? We got kind of a rare honor. The captain is getting ready to go on the bridge. His job is to sit in the bridge and drive the ship and make sure everybody knows what they're doing. But I did want him to just say hello to everybody for a second.
How you doing, Captain Baker?
Hey, I'm doing well. We're ship's ready to get pulled into Pensacola and start the week. We're couldn't be honored. It's a great privilege, and just look forward to getting in.
Thank you for having us on your home, and thanks for letting us do this, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate all the support of you all and the local press and really the whole community. So we look forward to getting there. We'll be there in a few hours.
All right. I knew that the captain was going to be not really available for time this morning, but I did want to at least catch him and have him say hi to y'all. He has been a fantastic host for us here on board the Richard McCool. Back to Scott Janik. Sorry, Scott, to interrupt you. But, captain and a captain, you understand.
Oh yeah, when Captain Baker shows up, you go all stop, right? No, it's good, and I know we're looking forward to meeting him. Pensacola is looking forward to having him at McCool. It's a little bit of nostalgia for me. My dad was a surface warfare in the Navy on an amphibious ship, a landing ship tank, which is no longer in service.
Oh,
but that,
okay.
That was similar. But that ship had a big ramp on the front that it could pull about a 600-foot ship, and it would pull up carrying Marines, tanks, trucks.
Yeah.
And the big ramp would drop on the bow so that they could drive off onto the beach. So it's kind of neat seeing a Gator Navy and you getting a touch on it out there. Shout out
Absolutely.
To Mel, as you guys have Reveille and you're up and at him.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so go ahead.
No, that's we're running totally out of time, and I just wanted to make sure if there was any final thing. We got about a minute left. If there was any last thing that you wanted to let people know about before we let you go this morning, because your command is, it's so important, because that's what keeps safety. That's what keeps the pilots alive, keeps the planes in appropriate order, and it's a crucial command that's based here in Pensacola.
No, absolutely, and there's so many ties over to just regular life and what other people do in industry. I've sat there and had talks with people, whether it's American Magic or the hospitals, and maybe they're talking a sailing boat or they're talking a patient, but really people working together to get something done and making sure it's done effectively. In our case, it's warfighting mission effectiveness. We need to make sure that we are preserving our assets and our people so that we can continually answer the bell when it's rung, and we need to answer it, just like you're seeing firsthand out there with those fine shipmates of ours on the McCool, getting that ship ready to get commissioned. But yeah, just a neat aspect of Pensacola here. And again, as you're doing the series, hopefully the people of Pensacola are really enjoying learning really the volume of training that goes on in this greater Pensacola area for Navy, Marine Corps, and a bunch of other our services. We also do, real quick, we do a international class once a year, so a bunch of our international partners come. to learn similar stuff that we're teaching, shorter classes, because we don't have to get into a lot of the U.S. policy or requirements that we have with them. But a real neat treat to be here. And you know, being here since 2018 and really seeing the ties here with the Navy and Pensacola, it's just been a real treat.
Yeah, and you, I know you spent more of your career in Pensacola than not, and I just think that's cool, all the different things you've done, from being the Commodore at Training Air Wing 6, and yeah, just all of it is very impressive. Captain Scott Janik, call sign Mongo. He is the commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation Safety, SAS, a dear friend, somebody who made this whole series possible and continues to help me produce it. Mongo, I'll talk to you again soon, man. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do.
All right, enjoy that salt air, Andrew. Have a good time.